Hi, welcome to Dessert Before Breakfast, the podcast where we review TV finales through the eyes of someone that's never watched a show. I'm Mike Darvall, and I have seen every episode of Ace Attorney Season 2 and played the Ace Attorney Trilogy.
I'm Melanie Germain, and I have seen none of Ace Attorney, and I started one of the Ace Attorney games. I can't even tell you which one, and I haven't finished it yet, but it was really fun.
I'm special guest star Josh Pendlebury, and I've played the game, but I haven't seen the show.
Nice. So this is a super weird episode. We're covering an anime based on a video game because we have a super video gamey guest from the Runaway 4. Why don't you tell us what the Runaway 4 is?
Well, we're a video game band here in Vancouver, BC. We like to put songs into big or small medleys and play them live. And we have a new album out, as a matter of fact. We just released The Fast, and it's a really fast little album.
Nice. And also, how do you feel about Ace Attorney?
Oh, I love Ace Attorney. The story is really great. I love the music. Huge fan of the music, actually. It's a really great game with fun characters and really neat little twists and turns.
Yeah, I do as well. And how's your quarantine been?
It's been pretty quiet.
Yeah.
Just keeping busy with work and creative projects as best I can. It's nice to pass the time.
Cool stuff, bro.
Oh, thanks, bro. Melanie, what do you know about Ace Attorney?
What I know about Ace Attorney is that it's a game about a lawyer, and he says objection a lot when in court.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes also outside of court. I think I remember that from the game, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Murder everywhere, and mysteries. And it plays you know, what's the lawyer? The lawyers who are on the bad guy's side as the villains, but really they're just doing their job. It was good times.
Yeah. I think the game you played actually was Apollo Justice Ace Attorney, which is technically takes place after this. This thing that we're chronologically takes place after this episode that we're about to watch.
Okay, right. So is this one with Phoenix Wright?
Yes, this one does have Phoenix Wright. It's at the very end of the Ace Attorney trilogy is when this takes place.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, could I just say, I only know two names of the characters, but they're pretty rad.
Yeah,
there's a lot of rad names in that.
A lot of rad names going around. Phoenix Wright. Apollo Justice.
It's because when they localized it, all the names were puns in Japanese, so they made sure to come up with English puns for all of the English names.
Are they puns?
Well, I mean, Phoenix Wright being the Wright and Apollo Justice. I mean, those ones aren't as punny as the other characters, but yes.
Plus, it's just lawyer-themed names.
Yeah.
They're thematic.
Yeah. No, but some of the bystanders have some really good names, too.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, I look forward to seeing some, I assume, in this episode that we're going to watch.
All right, well, we're going to watch the final episode of Ace Attorney. If you want to watch along at home, it's available to stream at Funimation in Canada, and we'll be right back.
This episode contains spoilers for Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Trials and Tribulations. Stick around to the end of the episode to hear Pepsi Man by The Runaway 4.
Gotta love them segues.
All right, well, we are back.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
So what do you think, Melanie?
Oh, my God. That was maybe one of the most enjoyable things I've ever watched in my entire life. It was like watching the game, from what I've played from that one game.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, oh yeah, this is basically just the game, except I don't have to work through it.
Yeah.
And it's wild, man. That was wild. That first beginning scene where it was kind of telling you what's happening. I was just like, I didn't get any of that. There's so much going on. I was so confused, and then things were answered as we went through it. But yeah, that was a trip. I'm into it.
Yeah, and it was probably the most story heavy Ace Attorney case.
Oh yeah,
every character in this case, including the ones that weren't in the episodes we watched, is all the main characters from the entire the trilogy of games, I guess, leading up to this point. Why don't you start at the beginning?
Jeez, like, I don't even know. Okay, so there's a court case and there's a ghost lady. The ghost lady, Dahlia Faye, is inside of someone's body. Also, okay, wait, can we just talk about that for a second? How is that, like, how are they able to use that as evidence and stuff? Like, how, you could just say, hey, I'm actually a ghost in somebody else's body, and they just take that as fact?
I don't know how to say that, but yeah, it was kind of weird that the channeling became so much more prevalent in that third game in the trilogy, and I guess in that season. But yeah, I don't know. I think it's just so ingrained in the culture of this universe that that they can just kind of take it take it at face value.
Yeah, it's weird. So like, as far as the culture and them accepting it in court, the first game they kind of just make it so that it doesn't really like ever become a key part in the case. And then in the later games, they like start to like wane on that a bit.
They're just like, yeah, this is the thing now. This is it.
Yeah, this is the thing now. And this is interesting to play with this.
Okay.
And they made some mini games around it too.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Like those locks that you saw in the episode, like those psychic locks.
Yeah.
Like those are things that you have to undo with psychic powers.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, basically in the first game, like they kind of had this thing where the courtroom was so fun and the rest of the game kind of wasn't. And the psychic locks was a way of bringing the courtroom into the sort of rest of the game a little bit.
Okay.
But we're kind of talking about how it works in the court system. But can you pinpoint how the actual channeling works?
I believe that one of the ladies channels a ghost. And then the ghost goes into that person's body, but their body changes to look like that person. So there's this added thing of we don't know who is channeling this person.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, I always found it really weird and disturbing how they turned Pearl into Mia. Because Mia's just, she's, you know,
yeah.
She's a full woman. Yeah.
The boobs.
Yeah. Also known as the boobs. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that's a child channeling that body. It's a little weird.
Wow. Wow.
It's very anime.
That's a little, yeah, very anime.
Well, and Maya's also like a child. Well, I guess not as much as a child. Pearl's supposed to be like 4, I guess.
Pearl's supposed to be 4? I think she's older than that. Can you talk at 4? Wait, maybe.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right.
I can't gauge children's ages anymore. It's been so long.
No, especially in anime.
Yeah.
But I know that Maya's supposed to be a teenager. She's supposed to be 14. And then Pearl's supposed to be like a little girl compared to her. So she might have been like 8, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Mia is a full-blown woman.
Who died, yeah.
Yeah, she died. Yeah, I got that. By the way, can I say, because we watched 2 episodes, the ending credits showing the coffee guy and Mia, I was like, oh, are they a thing? And then the next episode, that's all they talked about. That was pretty great. Anyways, Dahlia, is it Dahlia? Mm-hmm. Dahlia Hawthorne. Is that her name?
Yes.
Okay. She's inside somebody's body, but again, we don't know whose. She's confessing for some reason. I guess something happened the episode previously. Tells her truth. And then it's like the opening credits, or it's the opening music, and that's a bop. It's so good. Like, I just need that song in my life forever now.
Yeah.
And also the video, they're pointing all the time, and it just makes me laugh and really happy for some reason.
Yeah.
It's just point, point, point on cue with the music.
Yeah.
Into it. I loved it.
There's a point where they actually have a screen, and then there's just a rotating finger on it.
I was just like, nice.
It looked like the master hand from Smash Bros.
So just a note about the music for a sec. I love the Ace Attorney music. Josh mentioned that you love the Ace Attorney music before. The theme song is really one of the only songs from this show that's not in the games. Because the actual score is from the games. Like, it's just basically like a high fidelity version of the game music. What do you think of the theme song, Josh?
Yeah, no, I'm with Melanie on this one. It was an absolute bop. And, you know, just high energy, like, It just kind of made it feel like a very high energy, interesting kids cartoon. Yeah, it was seriously vibing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Freaking love it. Oh, gosh. Okay. So what I understood from that court, well, first of all, the whole setting of the courtroom is hilarious because it's just like there's the person on the stand, and then they get to talk to her as much as they want. Yeah. And they don't take turns or whatever. It's like, this is not, I don't think this is how a courtroom goes. No. But you know what? It doesn't matter because it's really fun. What I was trying to understand was they were looking for Maya. They were trying to find out where Maya was. And after talking for a very long time and saying, oh, no, it's Pearl who's channeling me, it turns out that it was Maya. And then the Dahlia says, and I wrote this down, I didn't think she was smart enough to come up with that. And then they were like, yeah, that's true. And then Mia shows up and it's like, oh, Mia thought of it. Clearly that other girl's quite dumb. to not be able to come up with that plan herself. Mm-hmm. And then Mia, I can't remember whose body she was in.
Pearl's.
She was in Pearl's body.
Yep. Yeah.
Is that why she had that weird hairdo?
Yeah.
And so did the little girl. Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's weird. Okay, I thought it had happened previously and that it was actually somebody else, but no, it was Pearl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a little weird, but that's fun.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. So do you want to take a stab at like when Mia dies in the Ace Attorney trilogy?
I think it's right at the beginning. I feel like that's the catalyst to all of this, kind of.
Yeah, case two. Yeah, so basically your time interacting with Mia as a character is almost exclusively in her corporeal form. And I guess I should also point out that very few people actually have this ability to both be channeled and to channel.
Oh, okay. That's unclear because everyone was channeling everybody in this one.
Yeah. Well, it's because this one starts because they go to the channeling temple. Was it the channeling temple? I believe it was actually a different channeling temple.
It was like the Karain.
I believe it was actually called the Karain channeling temple or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Maya and Pearl play the sort of Mia surrogate, I guess, in both of the games leading up to this. And then are they the only few people that can channel? I guess they are.
Well, it's the family, mm-hmm. right? There's the branch family that was...
the Hawthorns.
And the Hawthorns can as well, which means the Hawthorns can also channel into Maya and Faye as well. Mia.
Right.
Maya and Pearl.
There were a lot of names and all of them ended with Faye. So,
yes.
It was really jumbly for me. Mm-hmm. I don't think I quite understood who was who. But it didn't matter. I mean,
Maya, Mia, and Misty, like those are all like very different names. I don't know what you're talking about.
They all start with M. Confusion was bound to happen. But anyways, so Maya, they basically thought that Maya stabbed somebody.
Misty.
But they didn't know it was Misty first, right?
No, they...
It was Misty channeling somebody else.
No, sorry. Misty was...
It was Misty channeling Dahlia.
Yeah.
And Dahlia, and then Misty ended up dead. And then they thought that Maya did it.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
It's so convoluted, okay. Even for the veterans.
I love it. I love how convoluted it is.
Misty was a person.
Maya's mother.
Yeah, Maya's mother. She was a person that was alluded to from the very beginning of the series. Mm-hmm. But this is her first appearance.
Okay.
And then she dies.
Cool. Yes. She had great hair. I'm putting that out there. She had great hair. She had a cane with a sword in it. I'm into her.
It's pretty badass. Yeah.
So... Misty ended up dying and then they thought Maya did it. And then it turns out that no, that wasn't the case. And that Dahlia is in that body. And then they're like, get out of her body. And then she does.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's the end of her then.
So why do you think people thought Maya did it?
Because they didn't know about the third person. Because there was a third person at that crime scene.
Right, but...
Oh, and also because on the tombstone there was a written that said Maya.
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot about that person.
it's because of the evidence, Michael.
One crucial piece of evidence.
So I don't believe that this is... Like, it's actually really, really unusual for someone... Like, this case takes place over 3 days, right? Because there's this rule in the Phoenix Wright universe that a case can only ever take 3 days, can't take longer than 3 days.
Because mm-hmm. apparently there's so much crime in this world that they just really need to get through the process.
They got to rush it.
Yeah,
keep going through.
Totally.
And I loved how at the end then like they're like, well, sorry, we don't actually have any more time in the court. And they're like, well, no, actually, hold on. We've got a whole other episode. Let's let's just stay here. I know everyone's hungry. Everyone's tired. But, you know, justice has to be served.
So basically all of that was just like filler for the last episode is what you're saying.
I guess what I'm trying to point out is that Maya had been missing for 3 days, and it wasn't necessarily obvious in the game up to this point that she was channeling Dahlia this entire time.
Yeah, no, that's why there was a big reveal about it.
Because Dahlia looks like another character.
Yeah, she's the twin of Iris.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, cool. So they thought Iris was channeling her?
They didn't realize that, probably the end of last episode is approximately when they found out that it was Dahlia, period. They thought it was Iris this whole time.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a key, I guess, point that you're missing going into this episode.
Yeah. I don't think it changes much for me, honestly. Knowing this information barely clarifies anything.
Yeah.
But again, it's good to know, I guess. That's good. The Godot says stuff. After the Dahlia leaves Maya's body, Godot says, ho, we're not done here. We still have to find out who killed Misty. Turns out, what a jokester, it was him. And he had been wasting the court's time this entire time. Yeah. Because literally he could have just confessed.
Yeah.
But I'm gathering from his long-winded speech and all of those like coffee analogies, he was trying to make a point.
Yeah.
He was trying to get revenge.
Yeah.
I don't even know if that was true. I think he was just... He was like oddly trying to test Phoenix, being like, I hate you because you represent Mia, who's dead now, and it's your fault that she's dead.
Yeah, he was something. Narcissistically displacing any accountability.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, it's not his fault either that Mia was killed. He was poisoned and lost his sight, and his hair color just left him. It seemed like he was like in a coma for 5 years.
Yes. Do you know how he was poisoned?
Yeah, they touched on it in the episode. Dahlia did it.
They put it in his coffee.
And then he woke up to the smell of coffee. Oh. And then his woman was dead.
So what do you think about this coffee thing?
The coffee thing? I wrote down some of the things that he said because they were fantastic. You're giving me a hot cup of fresh perspective. Heal. Wait. I can't. There are too many. They were all fantastic. I loved the coffee angle, honestly. Oh, yeah. The whole thing about like this coffee's black, but I don't like your grind or something. Like, oh, yeah. Jeez Louise. It was amazing. And my question is actually just, where is the coffee coming from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know.
Because he got a new cup of coffee from somebody.
Yes.
Every single scene that he was in. And I loved it.
Well, this is where it's interesting coming from the games, because like sort of shifting perspective a little bit, like the games are like, they have like basically when you're in the courtroom, there's only like four backgrounds, right? Like there's the judge's background, and then there's the defense and the prosecutor and the center, like the witness stand background. So like really you never see beyond those backgrounds.
Yeah.
So like in the game, it's like, oh, this coffee is just going from off screen. But
I love that they kept that
for
the anime.
Yeah.
It made it feel like the game. Like I was watching a playthrough or something. It was really interesting.
And you didn't have to go through all the wrong answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't have to go through they did it once in the show. From what I saw, like the one where he, his oops face. And then he like falls under the table and all that stuff. Like, my gosh, when I played through like the game, I think it was Apollo Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the same thing, but like it was that all the time because I was bad at it. What else? What else happened? I'm lost. Where are we?
Well, you kind of just jumped the entire second episode. You're like, and it was him. The end.
Honestly, what else is there to talk about within the episode? He was like, oh, yeah, the Phoenix Wright accuses coffee guy, and then coffee guy is like, oh, do you have proof to back it up? And then he's like, haha, this. And he's like, ah, no, that's wrong. Okay, well, how about this? And then, you know, he tells the story, and boobity boop boop, it's done. You know? The real question is, does Godot go to jail? Unclear.
I've always wondered about that too.
Yeah, I think he just runs away. Or what's his name? His name is Diego Armando.
Diego Armando, yeah. So here's the thing. Of all the mainline Ace Attorney games, I played all of the ones that have been released in English. This is my least favorite game, 100%, hands down.
Is it?
And a lot of it has to do with this specific case, because it felt exciting because it was like, oh, literally every character is coming back. Like Miles Edgeworth, who is like, probably one of the most famous Ace Attorney characters aside from Phoenix Wright.
He had an impression on me.
Yeah, he actually, in the first part of this case that we didn't watch, he actually becomes the player character for a while. So like there's that, and then Francisca with the whip. You saw the whip.
I saw the whip. I liked the whip.
Yep. And then Larry Butts, who was the painter.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Larry Butts.
And the pun, the tagline is, if it smells, it's probably the Butts.
Yeah.
Just because he's such a fishy character.
He's so sneaky.
Oh yeah, that's really good. That's dumb. I love it. Okay, great. Sorry.
The translation team really did justice.
Oh my gosh. Dialogue's fantastic. It's good.
Absolutely fantastic. And the Funimation people had their work cut out with them for this one. But yeah, it's just, it frustrates me that at the end it was, oh, well, the prosecutor did it. And then they kind of skirt over the fact that Maya almost got convicted for murder and executed because he was supposedly protecting her. It doesn't make any sense.
No, you are very right. It doesn't make sense. Again, I think he's just a little jokester because he's like, ha ha, it was me the whole time, you know, and he could, if he had any sense of justice, I feel like he probably just should have confessed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so odd that he would. Yeah, I don't get that part. And I don't know. There's also like an aspect to this case where just it didn't make any sense, and trying to present the evidence and the pressing in this case made no sense, which makes it much more enjoyable to watch as an anime than to play it.
Definitely.
In the game.
Right.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so you agree on this, Josh?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my rating would be that I would go back and watch actually the entire show, because it was fun just to remember all of the characters and all the interweaving storylines and stuff like that. But just, yeah, like having it in that episodic kind of format and not having to go down. I mean, I like all of the wrong answers in Ace Attorney, because it's just that much more content of the game that they put effort into. And but like, yeah, as far as circumventing the frustration of presenting, yeah, like you said, really ridiculous evidence and logic leaps and stuff like that. I would love to go back and watch the rest of the show.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you guys feel that Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney games, present like logical, like courtroom drama all the time?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
It's like from an adventure.
Was this just too extra?
It was too extra. Gotcha. It wasn't just too extra. Is that the puzzles weren't good? The puzzles weren't good in this case, and it was very fan servicey, which I loved as a fan. But then when it came to actually solving the puzzles, I was frustrated by it.
Right. Okay. But that's in the context of the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's in the context of the game. Because like the so are you saying that this anime and the game are like scene for scene kind of the same?
Very similar. Yeah, very close representation.
Yeah, very similar.
They're very similar. Okay, they do hit all the same beats, but you don't have to worry about what the hell do I do next.
Right, right. So like watching it, is it like, it's just making you guys think about the games then?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, well, there's This is the weird, like, I did actually mention this in the intro to this episode, but I've only watched all of season two of Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of complicated as to why, because the first season is only available subtitled in Canada, and it's only available on Crunchyroll. And the second season is only available dubbed in Canada, and it's only available on Funimation.
Interesting.
They're done by entirely different studios, and the first season sucks. It just sucks. It's really boring.
It's fighting words. Mm. Fighting words.
Get the fanboys in here.
The second season, I believe this is true. If not, whatever. But I believe the second season is done by the same studio that does the anime cutscenes for the more recent Ace Attorney games.
Okay.
So like they're more true to the material. Like it's just a really good. I think the anime was like there's a couple parts where I'm just like, eh. But like for the most part, the anime is solid in this series. And there's also one brief string of episodes that aren't in the games. Like they're just it's an original story, which is pretty fun. Hmm. So yeah, as far as the anime is concerned, I would say that the second season is really good, probably better than the game it's based on.
Okay.
Which is my least favorite game. And it's more like soap opery anime in general.
Yes.
But then the other two.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
The soap opery part. Yeah, I got that. Oh. Yeah.
There's also a weird, like, it is kind of a weird swan song in a way, because like after this, they did Apollo Justice, which was very different. It had different protagonists. And I think they were going to keep going down that route, except for it didn't do as well. So then they brought Phoenix Wright back in. But mm-hmm. I do feel like the weird thing is that Maya doesn't really come back. Like, she does come back, kind of, but not really after this. She comes back in the Professor Layton Phoenix Wright crossover game.
Okay.
And she makes, like, small appearances in the other games. But this is, like, kind of Maya's last stand as a character, I guess.
Right.
As, like, she's a main character in the first three games.
Which one was Maya?
Oh, yeah, I guess you didn't see Maya that
much. Which one was Maya? Which one was Maya and which one was Iris?
So Iris was the one that looked like Dahlia Hawthorne.
Oh, yeah, that helps. Yeah. That helps me.
The black-haired Dahlia.
They were all wearing the same clothes, too. Like, it was like, okay, name their hairstyle and their height. Because that's all I got to differentiate them.
Okay, Pearl's the smallest one with the weird hair.
Yeah.
The little hoop things, right?
The little hoopies, yeah.
Then next up in age is Maya. She's got, like, kind of like the bangs and straight hair down. And then Iris has her like braids up in like a V shape on the top of her head there, right?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but her twin is Dahlia, who has that same hairstyle, only red.
Red, yes.
Yes, but in the game she was brown, or in the episode it was still
yes.
brown.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it emulates her hairstyle somehow, but not her hair color.
Right. Okay, that was actually tremendously helpful. Thank you so much.
Cool. Yeah, no problem.
Josh. Oh my gosh.
If anybody else needs tips, like discerning who is who in the Faye family line.
Yeah, this is actually an interesting avenue to go down. So like, could you recognize all the relationships? Like, can you call out the relationships between the characters that you could recognize?
Okay, there was Morgan Faye. A play on Morgan Le Fay, I'm sure, who was like head of the other branch of the Corin channeling school or whatever, whose daughter was, I believe, Iris and Dahlia. They were the daughters. Pearl, I think, is also.
What, sorry, are you? What? Josh is nodding. Like, does that say, I don't know who Morgan Fay
yeah,
is.
Yeah, yeah. No, she's right. Melanie's onto it.
Is so Morgan Fay is so wait the Iris sisters are Fays?
They're part of a different branch of the Fay family. Right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. I mean, like, we don't meet Morgan Fay, so that's why I guess I'm not familiar with her.
No, she was in the episode. I mean,
she's got the big hair.
She's got the big hair.
Oh, yes. Sorry, Morgan Fay.
I'm
yes.
just saying that, listen, I'm winning right now. Pearl's mom as well.
Yeah.
But also the mom of Iris and Dahlia, right? So they're part of that separate branch. I'm guessing Mia is also part of this family or like maybe a different branch or something, I think.
Mia is Maya's sister.
Mia, yes. You know, I'm trying to win the game, Michael. So maybe just Stop.
I guess, okay, I get it. I guess what I was wondering is more romantic relationships. So now now I'm on the same page as you. Now I understand what you're doing.
Building the family tree.
So confused as to what you're doing.
You told me what are the relations between each other, so I'm telling you the family tree of which that I understand.
The closest relationships you can have, Michael.
I'm trying to come up with the branches and everything.
Yeah.
You wanted romantic relationships.
Ooh. Yes.
Okay, well, I'm guessing that Dahlia tried to seduce Phoenix Wright at some point and then attempts to murder him, but only met him twice because Iris was taking her place most of the time, fell in love with him, and for 6 months didn't say anything. That blows my mind. That's not okay.
That's peak soap opera right there.
Right? Oh, my gosh. I think Mia is Phoenix Wright's mentor. Mia is also Maya's sister. I'm still winning, even though you took that one away from me. Who else? I don't know. I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess Mia is also the lover of Armando, Diego Armando, aka Godot, who has a lovely relationship with coffee. I think that's all I got. I'm hoping Miles is gay because the way that he looked at Phoenix Wright, I was just like, you guys should make out right now.
They have quite a history together.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
I guess like the thing is that usually on Dessert Before Breakfast, we talk about what confused you. I guess you're like confused, but you're not really sure what.
Me confused? Oh, I'm not confused, Michael. I'm just completely in the dark. I don't know. I have a question. Who's Sister Bikini? Because as soon as that name was said, I was like, I need to be friends with that lady.
I forgot all about Sister Bikini. I think she was just like a teacher at the Korean school.
Yep.
I'm into her. I don't think we saw her, but
no,
yeah, she.
You just have to picture.
Yeah. You see a very brief flash of her, but she's like just an old lady. She's like, oh, I like being called Miss Bikini, so I chose it as my name or whatever.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I kind of went through all my notes.
Yeah.
I feel like this was a pretty straightforward / confusing episode, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it feels like you needed a lot of exposition to understand the context of those episodes, but it's
I think definitely watching both episodes help.
Right. Like if you only watch one or the other.
Yes. Yeah. For sure. Because at least the first episode was way more confusing because nothing was clear. But then the second episode definitely cleared a bunch of stuff up, you know? It's just like, okay, I can scratch that out of my notes, you know? Can I tell you what my favorite scene was?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It was... when Mia finally comes into the courtroom and then they just shit talk on Maya for a good 5 minutes or something. They're just like, you're a failure. You're a loser. I'm just like, whoa, this is amazing.
You mean Dahlia?
Yeah, whatever her name was.
Yeah, it's like, whatever. I don't care anymore. They all have
bad character.
The bad guy. It doesn't matter.
It was an E or an I or something.
There was an M and a Faye. That was maybe the greatest thing I've ever seen. Just them shit talking on her, both of them together. It's like, you know, prison's too good for you. We're just going to shit talk you until your spirit leaves her body. I'm like, whoa. Bullies. But also that girl murdered a bunch of people. So I guess it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She deserved being ridiculed for the rest of eternity.
She deserved coming back from the dead just to be ridiculed again and then exercised.
Oh, so who's Nick? Why did somebody call Phoenix Wright Nick?
Phoenix Nick.
Oh, okay. That's dumb.
It's better than Feeny.
Or Feeny.
I did not like Feeny.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw my reaction to Feeny, but
visceral
I did
disgust.
Not like that.
Yeah.
It was really gross.
I think of all the shows we've ever watched, your reactions were the most ecstatic for this.
you know, stuff was just happening and I had like a big old smile on my face. It was great. It was ridiculous and it was so over the top. And I wrote in my notes several times, what the fuck is this? But also I'm loving it. Like, I don't know. It was great.
Like when they super cyaned up, like pointing at each other and it was like, What? Where did that come from?
When Godot's mask like literally exploded because he like, I don't know, just like told him the truth, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. And then it was just, another thing that gave me a visceral reaction was when they said Trebian Bistro, it's blasphemous. It's supposed to be French. It's Trebian Bistro.
That's Texas for you.
How could they let that slide? I'm just saying, like, you should be able to say that properly. It was not okay, is all I'm saying.
For those who don't know, that Funimation is dubbed exclusively in Texas.
It's kind of cool, though.
Now you know.
Yeah.
Now you know,
and the more you know.
I wish that they all had Texan accents. I feel like that would really up this dubbing. I think it would be objection.
Wow. So for me, like, I actually thought the dubbing was fine with the exception of Maya. Maya was kind of like nails on a chalkboard for me a little bit.
I agree, actually. Maya was too like frail and small, just like, shut up. I hated it. Yeah, it was not great.
Did the voices match what was in your head, Josh?
I think I'm with you. All but Maya. You know, Maya does seem a little bit frail in the games, but even then, like, I didn't quite picture it to that extent. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just playing into a bit of a trope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah, I think we're good to move on to the next section.
Do you have anything to add, Josh?
I loved it.
Okay, great. I think that's the next section, so we're good.
Yay! Yeah. Segways.
Segways.
Yeah, is there, like, maybe anything else you want to, like, ask Melanie or...
I don't know. I got to applaud you. You seem like you've got a pretty good handle. Like, I was trying to watch the show and keep in mind the context of, like, no context. So just, like, trying to see it for the first time. And yeah, no, I think you did really good figuring everything out.
Yes. Winning. Thank you. Cause I do this every week right now, where I have to figure out shit without knowing what the fuck is going on. Yeah, no, it's good times though. Like, for as convoluted as this was, once you kind of get like just the body switching things.
Yeah.
This is nuts. This is crazy. But also I don't need to know their names to like enjoy what was happening at least. So that was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really fun to kind of get into the characters and understand all their little quirks and the drama plays out between them. Some tenuous relationships and like being able to kind of talk things out in a very just and true way and kind of move past things a little bit. I think there's some of those sorts of themes in the story and in the relationships and stuff. But yeah, mostly just like being able to sit down and I guess the gameplay, yeah, it was basically like a visual novel with a little bit of puzzle solving and mostly just fun dialogue, rich characters, really fun, easy stuff to digest.
Nice. And what did you think of the show?
Yeah, the show encapsulates that perfectly. It's awesome because you don't have to figure out all of the wrong answers to move on to to the good stuff. And I really also like the way that they interpreted the music, because there were parts where it felt like they really did add production value to the arrangements, but they still maintained some of those classic sounds from the DS. The sound chip there, I thought that was really well interpreted. And the animation style too was really awesome because you got to see all the different angles and kind of see the world a little bit from a wider angle.
Yeah, did you you played the games the HD remaster trilogy, or did you play them on DS?
No, I did play them on the DS.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because like the original soundtrack was amazing, but was more chiptune-y for sure. Mm-hmm. I love Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney. Phoenix Wright is probably my favorite game franchise ever. And like I said before, the third one is my least favorite game. So which is why like season two of the anime is basically just the third game. And it is like my way to enjoy that
nice
series. But
that's cool.
I think that it is a perfect visual novel detective adventure game. It is so fun. It is so funny. It is so, every character is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I would recommend the second season of the anime. I would not recommend the first.
Fighting words.
Yeah. And I would recommend the movie over the first season, because the movie is probably the greatest video. Well, it is the greatest video game movie ever made. 100%. Hands down.
Fighting words again. Yeah. You're just like picking fights with all the nerds. I love it.
It's pretty low bar. Let's be real. I mean,
I don't know, that Mortal Kombat trailer. Just
what, you got like Mortal Kombat? And,
what? Yeah. You don't like Mortal Kombat? They're actually coming out with a movie, aren't they?
Something's yeah, there's a out. New one now.
There's a new one coming out. I'm excited for that. So I played part of Apollo Justice. And that being said, this was really fun. It was basically like playing the game. And I really enjoy that. I just had a thought, though, that the show, or at least the last two episodes, definitely needed more of the judge. Because the judge is real sassy and they didn't use him at all.
The judge is super dumb, man.
He's so dumb and sassy and I love him. He needed to talk more and prove how dumb he was.
Does he talk more throughout the rest of the second season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, he's definitely... I mean, I feel like the third game didn't have as much of like him being an idiot, though, but yeah.
No. You didn't have those like... palm to forehead moments where you're like, oh, judge, come on. Come on, what are you doing?
How did this compare to the last courtroom drama that we covered on this show?
Are you talking about the X-Files?
Yes.
Yeah. I gotta say, the bullshitness of the X-Files courtroom drama cannot compare. You cannot compare. It was just so over the top with that one. It's like, oh, well, why should we believe you? You don't have any evidence. Like, you're not bringing any evidence either. I don't understand how is this even in court? Like, this is such a waste of time. Whereas this one, you know, they had body switching and that was neat. And there was coffee and they were just talking at, you know, to the witness as much as they wanted. So that, you know what? They were kind of both dumb, but I would say that this one was much more enjoyable and didn't make me angry. It just made me happy.
That's a sign of any good show.
Exactly. Yeah.
Didn't make you angry.
That's true. Yeah. That's good.
For this episode, I think I'll give it 9 cups of coffee out of 10.
Ooh, very good. I'm going to give it 9 out of 10 years in jail for Godot for killing that lady.
Oh, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Godot?
Yeah, he's a death penalty, man, for sure. In this universe.
Okay, well, Mike, here, let's go back for a second. Because here's what's happening. I'm doing a 9 out of 10 review thing, so I'm actually doing a bit. So what he actually get as a sentence does not matter. Because I'm doing a bit where I'm saying he's getting 9 out of 10 years in jail for killing that lady.
Right.
And then so we do like a little chuckle. It was funny. And then, you know.
The problem is, Melanie, is that my actually instinct is just really, really strong.
Yeah,
today.
Yeah. No, I can tell. That's why I decided to do this. See, so yeah, 9 out of 10 years in jail. And he gets off a little early for good behavior. That was the joke.
Ta-da.
Now I have to come up with something else. You go ahead, Josh, while I think in my corner over here.
Aw, shucks. Okay. I give it 0 out of 10 objections, which is a 10 out of 10 for me.
All right. So would you go back and watch the rest of the series, Melanie?
Yeah, 100%. I would watch this. It was just a good time. It was just a fun, good time watching something, body switching, coffee, a definite, legitimate courtroom drama. I love it. It's great. Would do again.
What about you, Josh? What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I intend to go back and watch the rest of it, and I suggest everyone else do the same so that we can all be friends.
Because if you don't, then we're not friends.
We're not friends.
Thanks for coming, Josh.
Thanks for coming, Josh.
Yeah, thanks for inviting. Thank you for inviting us, myself and Mia.
Have you been channeling?
I've been channeling Mia this whole time. Boom.
Dessert Before Breakfast is hosted by Mike Dorval and Melanie Germain. Editing by me, Callan Dorval. Music by The Brass Action. Send us a voice message by using the link in the description or email us at dessertbeforebreakfast@gmail.com. Here's Pepsi Man by The Runaway Four.
Pepsi, only my choice. Pepsi Man!